Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. Happy 4th of July. Almost. We've had lots of fireworks, most of them in the form of lightning, but that rain has been quite a blessing, so we are grateful for that, yes. Yes, indeed. It is good to be here with you this morning. My name is Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon who serves here at First United Methodist Church. This is a church that wants to know God, to love God, and serve God. We do that in a variety of ways. And you can see just a small portion of those ways on the connection card that's inside your bulletin. Please take a moment and fill that out. Let us know you're here. Let us know how we can help you get involved and grow as you're in your spiritual journey. There are also prayer cards in the pew backs in front of you. They are bright yellow. If you have someone or something that you need prayers for, please, it would be a blessing to us to be able to pray for you. There's a group that meets every Thursday morning that goes over and all of the prayer requests that get turned in. This morning we have Liz Hoover and Rose Bledsoe helping us with worship this morning. Susan and Jeff Sharp are providing music. Jeff, that was a great intro. Thank you very much. And someone was supposed to tell me if there's Sunday school today. No Sunday school today. Okay, someone just told me there's no Sunday school today. There are three announcements that I want to bring to your attention. The first is the Habitat Build, which begins next Saturday. There's still time to sign up and be a part of that, a wonderful event and organization, and a really good thing to be a part of. There are fireworks today at Whitmore Lake, on Whitmore Lake, I should say. The church parking lot will be open beginning at 6 p.m., a great place to view the fireworks from, some nice grass. Oh, what? Say that again. Okay, rain date's tomorrow night. It is canceled or look for it? Look for it. Okie dokie. All right, there you go. And then the following, on Sunday, July 9th, we'll be doing outdoor worship at Whitmore Lake. There'll be communion served with that as well. And so come and be a part of that. There'll be a beautiful scene of the lake, I'm sure, and the weather will be fabulous, guaranteed. Can I say that? You can say it. This morning, Pastor Lynn's going to be bringing us a message about welcoming the stranger in our midst. And so with that, I'd like to ask you to please rise and join in our opening hymn.
Welcome, everyone, this morning. Let us join together in the opening prayer. Author of liberty, God, you inspired us with ideas of equality and freedom. Help us live up to those ideas. Help us to hear people suffering amongst us and respond. Help us to bring your kingdom to earth so people may live in abundance and in harmony. In your name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the entire structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. It is good to be back in this pulpit. And by the way, for those who notice the pulpit looks a little different today, that is thanks to Carl. Where is Carl? Carl, wave your hand. Let's thank Carl. Carl built this for the short preachers. We really, really appreciate it, I'll tell you. So let's pray. Oh, gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the message that comes before us today, may it be pleasing to you. May hearts hear your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, our preaching theme for this month continues to be under construction, hence our construction things. But today we're going to be considering one of God's construction projects and how we can be a part of God's construction project. But we need to add one more scripture, the story of a deconstruction project. So I like to call it down through the roof. It's from the Gospel according to Mark, verses 1 through 5. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And Jesus was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. This is a surprising story that raises so many interesting questions. Mainly, why on earth did those people go to all that trouble to remove the roof? I mean, I think about it, I look up there and I think, if we needed to do that to get people in, we'd have to call the men with tools a few days early, right? That's what we'd have to do. But, you know, it seems like surely it would have been okay. It would have been reasonable to just place the man on his mat somewhere in the front yard if the place is full, and he might have been able to catch some of Jesus' words, right, through the open door. And then perhaps once he was all settled, it would have been okay for the mat carriers to kind of squeeze themselves in through the side of the door, and they could have gotten pretty close to Jesus, and that would have been reasonable and okay, right? I think so. Okay. Sounds okay. So how did they end up instead with this fantastical idea of deconstructing a roof, and in the process, did they end up reconstructing some lives? Is there something here that God might want to say to us as individuals, or perhaps to us as a congregation? Not long after Gary and I were married, we began church shopping. We visited church after church after church, because the kind of church we were married in, which was American Baptist, there weren't any in the area. And so we were just looking for the right place for us. At one church, we became pretty hopeful because there was this couple, and they seemed kind of friendly. They met us, they shook hands with us, they smiled at us, and they even went one step further than that. You know what they did? They invited us to come back that night because there was going to be some kind of a potluck dinner at the church, and they said, you can come, and you don't have to bring anything. You'll just be our guest. And I thought, wow. This is like really, really great. Well, so we came. Now remember, we're really, really young. We got married quite young. Well, 21, all right. And it seems young now. And so, you know, we were kind of nervous about the whole thing. But we went to the dinner, and there were a lot of cars and a lot of people, and it was going to be a really big, successful thing. And we went in and we looked around and we saw those people. And we said, all right, because we don't know another soul here. So we went up to them and they said, oh, you came. Well, hi. Well, we're at the head table, so you can just go sit anywhere. And so we did. We went and we found a little empty spot over by the side there. And it turned out that all of the people who were also sitting at that table were wonderful bosom buddies. And so they were nice. They said hello. I think they asked our names, maybe. And then they turned to each other and they continued their conversation, and that was that. Nobody asked us anything about us. They didn't share anything with us about them. They didn't ask if we had any things that, you know, we might be interested in at the church. They never got to find out about Gary's good singing, by the way. Their loss. So we kept looking. Now, let's go back to this story about Jesus and the mat carriers. That's what I call it, the mat carriers. Because lives were changed that day when they tore down a roof. First of all, let's start with the easy question. How on earth did they manage to remove the roof? Did you ever think about that? I mean, that's not easy, right? Well, here's what archaeologists say. In Old Capernaum, they find traces of houses that were made out of a black stone called basalt. They find it everywhere. They can see where the old houses were. But you know what they never find? Roofs. There's no evidence of roofs at all. And it's because they think, well, and you know, they also, not only are there not stones, there's no tiles either. So they think that the roofs were not made of stone, they were not made of tile. What they think they were wooden beams that here and there, and then lots of branches put over the top, and a lot of mud and clay packed down in. And then on top of that, very often there would be grass even growing. And that's what the roofs probably were, and that's what they believe. And that makes sense, because remember in the story, it said they removed the roof, but then it says they dug down into the roof. So don't you get the picture? All right, so I just think it's easier to hear the story if you can get some sense of how could this even happen. All right, so digging through the roof is literally what they did. But now the harder question, why did they do it? I try really hard to picture this thing as a real life event. I try to picture being there. And I try to go back a little bit, and you go with me back a little bit and try to think about, there's this man who's paralyzed. How did they happen to pick him up and take him to Jesus? Did the man stop them and say, hey, I heard Jesus is in town. Could you carry me there? Maybe. Or did they just happen to be chatting with him in general and they said, oh, you know, word's out that there's this Jesus that's doing all kinds of things. Yeah, wouldn't it be something if we could take you and you could hear him? Nobody ever thought about anything about a roof. Or they were perhaps the family. Or maybe one of the four. It doesn't say if that, we assume they were men. One of the four could actually have been his wife. But somebody in that conversation, they thought about it and they thought, this man needs to go meet Jesus. They had a flash of insight that here was a stranger lying by a road, and I could help them get to Jesus. In any case, we know that there was something special about those four people, because here's what they did. They believed, or they hoped, or they prayed that Jesus could indeed do something for this man. And they cared enough to offer to help. Suddenly, they had faith enough to keep on trying, even when the going got rough. It was never going to be enough for them to just leave him laying out there in the yard. That wasn't what their inspiration was at that moment. Somehow, God's Spirit was working in their lives, and they said yes. Now, what could this scripture have to do with us? Because that's really the point, isn't it? That's what it's about. Well, for all of us, think about this. Let's get back to picturing the actual event. All right, so they get there. They look, oh my gosh, we cannot get him in the door. There's so many people in there. All right, well, the people in those days would actually go up on their roofs fairly often. And so there may well have been stairs. So let's, for their sake, hope there were stairs. Otherwise, I don't know how they got up there. But once they got up there, how did they know where to dig the hole? I mean, they could have gone over this corner and Jesus could have been way over there because they ended up right in front of Jesus. How did they know? I think somebody helped them. I think somebody in that crowd looked through the window and they said, over this way a little. I hear that's how the men with tools do things, you know. This way a little, that way a little. And then they started digging. All right, so they've got the hole. They see Jesus. They've got the mat. How are they getting the mat down to Jesus? They just drop him, right? They didn't bring ropes because they never thought that they were going to have to do that. So somebody said, oh, I know where we've got some ropes. And they brought them to him. So they had helpers, didn't they? It wasn't just them. There were helpers. And it just seems to me that there are moments when all of us are called by God's Spirit to do something, but we don't do it alone. We have wonderful people who give us a glass of water. We have people who figure out what we haven't noticed, and we say yes to them helping us. And so, here's the next part. When they lowered the man down, and he was right in front of Jesus, Jesus looked at that man, and then he turned, I guess he looked up, you know, through the roof, and he said to the people up there, or maybe he said it to them and to all the people around, he said, because of your faith, I say to this man, your sins are forgiven. Somehow their faith made it possible for this man's sins to be forgiven. If you don't believe me, you get out your pew Bible there and you look. Mark chapter 2. Look and read it. See what it says. And I think this is so powerful because it means that what we do when we welcome a stranger into our faith community, we're making a difference. We are welcoming strangers the way that God welcomes strangers, the way that God loves the stranger. This is our chance to do that. So, back to Gary and I. Eventually, we tried the United Methodist Church. And when we got there, this was in Lake Orion, when we got there, there was an energy in the air. There was a young couple named the Fosgates, and they noticed our newborn daughter, and they offered to help us find the nursery, and they wanted to get to know us, and because of their kindness, we, all four of us, ended up raising our children together in that church. And I have talked to so many of you who can tell me the first time you came to this church or the first time you came to another church, who was the person, who were the people that talked to you? Who were the people that welcomed you? Who were the people that greeted you? You are being mat carriers when you do that, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. I believe God's hand was at work there for us.
God was loving us as strangers into becoming more of a part of God's own work. We learned so much from that church, and it was there that Gary began singing in the choir. And it was there that a pastor first suggested to me that I ought to go to seminary. By the way, I didn't do it. Not then. It took quite a few years. But that was the first time someone said that to me, that that was where I belonged. Now, most any Sunday, we here at First Church, we have among us people who are new. There are those who feel a little like strangers and those who are just brand new. They really are strangers. And either way, they are trying to find something. There's something in their heart that's crying out for more, for spiritual nourishment. And we can be the ones to make a difference. Perhaps they've even been coming here for a while, but they're not quite sure how to get in, to get involved. Sometimes people come because they're responding to something in their life. Perhaps a new child, perhaps a death, or maybe they're moving for a new job, or they just moved to the area, or perhaps there's just some challenge where finally they're ready to say, oh yeah, God, I know you've been kind of suggesting this and I've been ignoring it, but I'm ready now. And they screw up their courage, and particularly for people who are not used to going to church at all. For many of you, you've been in church most every day for your whole life. So I think it's real hard to picture what it would be like for a brand new person who's family never went to church. They never went to church. They walked by it. They saw it. They thought it looked interesting. But oh my gosh, I know they stand up and they sit down and they do things. I would look foolish. They will either ignore me or they'll laugh at me. You know, those are the things that run through people's minds. But they're looking for Jesus, and Jesus keeps saying, oh, come on in. Come on in. And so they walk in. My friends, we are called, like those mat carriers, to use our gifts and our help to help others find Jesus. So, this fall, even though we're pretty good at it here, all right, are you ready to hear some hard truth? Yes or no? I can leave out this paragraph.
Go for it.
All right. So, one of the things that I do is I talk to people who are new here. I call them on the phone and I chat with them. And I say, tell me about your experiences. And I hear that this is a friendly church. We are really, really, really good at saying hello. We are really good at smiling. But then, what I hear is that we also tend to say, hi, we're so glad you're here, and then we run because we don't know what to say next, maybe, or because we know that our group of friends is waiting. Not always. We don't do that always. But honestly, I do hear it, and I have heard it in my 10 months I've been here. And so we need to know that about ourselves. And so what are we going to do about it? Well, we're going to do a couple things. First thing we're going to do is we're going to start a new program, and we're calling it Friendly Links. Friendly Links, right, will be people who are willing to offer a different kind of offering. They're going to offer one Sunday a month of their coffee hour time. Whoa, that's a big ask. One Sunday a month of their coffee hour time, they will be Friendly Links. They're going to wear a special name tag. They're going to have, we hope, a special desk that, not where they'll stand behind, but rather where there will be materials that they can show to somebody. And they will have training, and they're going to just practice a bit. What can you say? I'll tell you, the worst thing to say is, are you new here? Don't say that, because you know what's going to happen? They're going to say, no, I've been coming here for 10 years. They will. So you don't, that's not it. But we're going to teach folks what they can say and what will work. And we're going to help them to know about what's going on in the church, because that's the other thing they need to know. And we're going to help them to know how to have a comfortable dialogue that nobody needs to feel. And also how to read the people. Because some people want a long conversation and some don't. So that's what we're going to do. Now, we need about 15 of these people. I think I've already got about 8 or 9 just like that. I just walked up to people and said, would you, you know, but I didn't walk up to random people. I walked up to people that I saw gifts in, people who are comfortable talking with people, people who just, you know, might be willing to do something like this, and mostly they said yes. Now, if this sounds like something you might like to do, please let me know. I still have some spots, and this summer we're going to do the training, and the whole thing's going to start, Carl, in September? Carl's got a second building project, and we're asking an awful lot. We might start without the kiosk thing. That's okay. But you know, whether or not you sign up to be a friendly link, every person is needed to help in some way to welcome those we don't know. Look around, everybody, every Sunday. Take a minute to look around for strangers. And if you see one, even if you're not a person who's comfortable going and talking to them, you can surely pray for them, right? You can surely do that. And you can surely point them out to one of these new friendly links and say, oh, that's a new person, I'm pretty sure. And if you're a little bit braver, you can introduce yourself and you can smile at them. Listen, those mat carriers didn't get to that man. They didn't get that man to Jesus all by themselves. So these friendly links need your help. They need all of us to help. And not only will those strangers be blessed, here's the surprising part. You will be blessed also. You will be blessed when you see God at work and you know that you've been a part of that. Who were the lives that were changed that day on the rooftop? Well, the man who was carried, right? His life was changed. The lives of the four of them were changed. Also, the lives of everyone who helped and the lives of everyone who witnessed that miracle. And what about us? That scripture, that act, can change our lives today if we let it. For we, too, are like baby birds who have wings, and maybe we don't yet know that we can fly. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The prayer quilts today are for Nicole and Victoria. You're invited to tie a knot on each quilt as you leave today and to sign each card. These actions represent your prayers and concerns for the ladies who will receive the quilts, letting them know that they're seen and that we care. Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I watched the TV news last night. It wasn't very uplifting. It wasn't encouraging. It wasn't even hopeful. It wasn't easy to see that so much suffering and misery is in our world right now. It wasn't easy to acknowledge that we haven't been good caretakers of your creations. I believe that you want us to do better, to be involved in creating our better future. So this morning, Lord, I'm choosing to be hopeful and optimistic. I pray that we, individually and as a congregation, and as part of the worldwide faith community, are part of this construction or reconstruction process. We can rebuild roads and buildings and infrastructure. Help us, though, to review, revise, reject, rewrite, or create laws and regulations that will be kind and fair. Help us to continually, constantly be renewed in our faith so that we can be strong in the presence of negativity. Help us to see each person as created by you in your image, yet with all our individual traits and idiosyncrasies. Help us to understand that all the creatures of the land and of the sea and of the air are worthy of existence. Help us to know how to honor our planet so our earthly existence can be healthy. Help us to be strong in our faith as we navigate through our construction zones, whether they be in our roads, in our actions, or in our hearts. Lord, we pray for all these things. Now, God, please listen as we silently offer our praise, our problems, and our concerns. Heavenly Father, we pray for the quilt recipients today. We pray that they will feel your love when this quilt envelops them. We pray that they will find relief of some kind when they see all the signatures on the cards. We thank you for allowing us to represent you here on earth. And we know that you hear us as we repeat the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And so we come to the Lord's table on this first Sunday in July. I'm so glad that Gary and I found the United Methodist Church. And one of the things I love most about being a United Methodist is that our communion table is open. We don't think it belongs to us. We think it belongs to Jesus. And Jesus loves strangers. And so that means that if it is in your heart at all to come and try to find how to be closer to Jesus, you are welcome at this table. You don't need to be a member. You don't need to be a member of any church. This is the table for you. When the time comes, after we've blessed the elements, you'll be coming by the side aisles. You'll take a piece of the bread. You'll break it off, eat it. Got it already cut? We got it already cut for you. Just take a piece of the bread and eat the bread. Take a cup, drink from the cup. But most importantly, remember why you're doing it and whisper a prayer to Jesus. If you need gluten-free, we have gluten-free elements, and I'll be serving those in the center. The side aisles will be the regular bread and juice. And so now I invite you to join us. And if you know the words, you don't need it. But if you don't know the words, you can get your hymnal and you can turn to page 13 and you can follow along. And when you get to the bold print, you can read it right along with us. But you're going to find a lot of it you know by heart already. So let us begin.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and you made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. All of you, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then when the supper was over, he took the cup. he gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. And on these gifts of bread and cup, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are helping us to serve to come forward. The ushers will be directing you when it's time to come. And we are going to be wearing gloves. As you see, I've been deconstructing the wall. Oh, loving God, we know that you are among us today. We feel your presence. Help us to share that presence through the strength we've received from this holy meal. In the name of Jesus, amen.
As the ushers come forward to begin to receive our offering this morning, I just want to thank you. What a generous congregation this is, continues to be. I know our kids had a fabulous time at camp. You were all part of making sure that they all got there. So thank you for that. Continue to open your hearts that this church might continue to know God, love God, and serve God.
Gracious Lord, you call us to embrace the stranger, to entertain angels unaware. Help us to welcome the visitors so that they feel the love of Christ Jesus in our community. Help us to use the resources we give today to grow a world where no one feels alone. In your name we pray. Amen.
You are a wonderful congregation. Your eyes shine when you look at strangers. Let your heart follow your eyes. Let your eyes follow your heart. And this week, when you go out into the world, look for those strangers, not just in church. I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't mean just in church. Look for strangers and see them as people. And give them a smile and offer a prayer. Go knowing that you can do these things because you are loved by God. Go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.